ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. ثم أما بعد، عداوة الشيطان للإنسان، الدرس الثامن. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the eighth lecture talking about the shaitan, our mortal enemy. We have said before that there are four major enemies, two from the inside and two from the outside. The outside is the shaitan and the dunya, and the inside is yourself and the whims and desires. We have said before, last lecture, we have said that there are three kinds of self. Nafs lawama, nafs ammara bisu awalan, thumma nafs lawama, thumma nafs mutmainna. We said that the first kind is a nafs al ammara bisu, the one that constantly inciting the person to be evil and commit sins. The second one is the self that blames the person, incites him to do something bad, but after he does it or she does it, then starts to blame himself, why did I do that? And the third one is the highest level, which is a nafs al-mutma'inna, the self that got to the level where it is just content, relaxed and happy by being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And naturally, each one of those levels also. So, because some people think that once you get to a nafs al-mutma'inna, does that mean that that is not, yeah, yourself does not command you to do anything evil? No. There are levels. The same thing, there are levels in wajibat. There are levels in mustahabbat. There are levels in the haram. There is not a thing that is flat, this is the way it is. We also spoke about the bouts between us and the shaitan. And we said there are six. The first bout, he wants you to commit kufr. The second one, if he fails in that, then the next one, he wants you to commit bid'ah or innovation. What's so special about bid'ah? How come bid'ah precedes the major sins? Because major sins, you know that you're doing wrong. So more than likely you repent. But bid'ah, you think you're doing wonderful. So you would die on it and you would never say astaghfirullah because you think you're doing good. If he fails in that, then he moves to the major sins. If he fails in that, he moves to minor sins. If he fails in that, he moves to mustahabbat, preferred things. Things that are halal for you to do anyway, but he will use it to make it haram by being extravagant, for instance. And then the last one is by inciting your family and your relatives and your community and everyone against you. He will arm everybody to move against you. Some of you might question or might think that, what about sunnah? And what about the obligations? Doesn't he attack that? He does. But what does he attack first? The sunnah. Sunnah is a shield for the fard. Before he attacks the fard, he attacks the sunnah. Instead of coming and telling you, don't pray dhuhr, he will tell you, you don't have to pray the two rak'ah sunnah. You can do without it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only going to ask you about the fard. So it's all right if you skip it every now and then. And you start doing that one time, two times, three times, and after that you find yourself not doing the sunnah. Now he can move in for the fard. And usually it starts by missing some of the prayers, especially the Fajr prayer. You will say, okay, let's see what time is it. The sun is up already. خلاص إن شاء الله after I eat I'll make it up. And then after you eat you gotta run and you gotta go to work or to go somewhere. You don't and you start skipping, and Allah knows what He leads at the end with you. Well, today we're gonna talk about, start with Shaytan and his army. We wanted to see what kind of army the Shaytan has. Shaytan has material or physical army and something like spiritual army. The spiritual one, before we get into that, know that Shaytan cannot do anything, neither him nor his army, to anyone without the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaytan cannot harm you, cannot attack you, cannot do anything to you if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want that to happen. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the shaytan for that purpose, so he can test you. There is a battle between us and the shaytan from the day that you are born. The day that you are born, he pokes you. And that's when the baby screams, crying. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that. What is he doing really? He's just telling you, hey, guess what? I'm here. From the day that you are born, he does that. And this battle continues until when? The day of judgment? No, until you die. Once you die, this battle between you and the shaitan ends. How do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in control of the shaitan? We know he's in control, but shaitan cannot do anything to you without the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you and I know that the shaitan is more powerful than us. And he can see us and we cannot see him. So shaitan can do a lot of damage if he wants, shaitan and the jinn and such. We know that he does everything with the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated the shaitan, the good one and the evil one, to whom? Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَمِنَ الْجِنِّ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Some of the jinn, and the jinn includes the evil ones, the shaitan, and the good ones, the Muslim, laboring for Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam under his command with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sulaiman, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, commanding them, in control of them, but who is making them to serve Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he said, وَمَنْ يَزِغْ مِنْهُمْ عَنْ أَمْرِنَا نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Anyone who deviates away from the command, he will be immediately punished. How did Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam get that? He made a dua. قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. Oh Allah, grant me kingdom that no one after me would get the same thing that I got. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated the wind for him. The wind carries him to travel, and the wind brings him back from the travel. And he subjugated subhanahu wa ta'ala the shayateen. They build for him, they dive in the ocean and get pearls and jewels and everything for him under his command by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one should ever think that the shayateen are doing what they're doing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control or without his permission. But this is the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave for us, that we have to continue striving against them, building our faith and fighting the shaitan and his whispers and his army until we are victorious, and then we deserve the Jannah after that. So let's look at it. Shaitan has physical army and has a spiritual one. Now the spiritual one is the one that he incites inside of you, build and work hard on you to make you arrogant. Al-ghurur. Shaitan works so hard to make you arrogant. Now you know what cursed him and what happened to him because of his arrogance. He works for that. Shaitan works hard to get you in that level. And this arrogance, material and non-material, he makes you arrogant with your wealth. and he makes you arrogant with your power, and he makes you arrogant with your knowledge. How does he make you arrogant with that? You think that you're not in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got everything you want. Or you think that I got what I got because I'm good. I work hard. I went to college. I trained. I have experience. It didn't come from vacuum. I did it myself. Who did that before? Fir'aun and Qarun. We have the shaitan. Then Fir'aun and Qarun. Qarun qala innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. The kingdom and all the wealth that Qarun has, he said, I have knowledge for that. Or he became so arrogant to the point that even if it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave it to me because I deserve it. That's arrogance. To come and say, brother, mashallah, you have a good job and you have a good house and everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you. And then you go, yeah, he did, and I deserve it. Look at the arrogance. It sounds good. We might not even think about it, arrogance, but it is arrogance. Because if you think that you deserve it, it is arrogance. Because number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا أليس الأمر كذلك؟ ليس كل من أكرمه الله سبحانه وتعالى فهو كريم عند الله وليس كل من أهانه الله سبحانه وتعالى يعني في نظرنا فهو مهان عند الله سبحانه وتعالى الفقر والغنى من الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يعني الفقر أنك يعني مغضوب عليك من الله سبحانه وتعالى أو أن الغنى هو رضا من الله سبحانه وتعالى عليك. It doesn't mean that when you are rich that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you, or when you are poor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry at you. It doesn't mean that. This is how we see it, but it doesn't mean that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared that for us. Tayyib, let's take a look at the shaitan, how he instills the ghurur, the arrogance in the hearts of the people. We said this is what the shaitan does, and this is an army for the shaitan. Arrogance is one of the armies of the shaitan. Let's take a look at the Battle of Badr. Battle of Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ اللَّهُ وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in reference to the shaitan. Shaitan beautified everything in the eyes of the disbelievers, the people of Mecca. And he said, MashaAllah, look at you. Lots of numbers, lots of power, lots of wealth, lots of men. You got it all. Who's going to beat you today? No one. Definitely you're going to be victorious. Add to that, guess what? I'm there with you. I'm your neighbor. In case you need me, I don't think you need me, but in case you need me, I will be there to protect you. So the shaitan instilled the arrogance in the hearts of the disbelievers to encourage them to enter the fight with the Muslims, which they are not really in need for, because the caravan passed, it was saved, and there is no need to confront the Muslims. But no, the shaitan said, go out, throw parties, celebrate, show them the power, meet them, you got it, you're on top, and I will be with you. Did he work? I mean, did it work? Absolutely, it did. When the disbelievers met the Muslims, Shaitan has a different strategy now. He saw the believers. He saw their intentions. I mean, he saw the actions that is based on their intentions. He saw their power, and he saw something else. He saw angels. Shaitan can understand that. And you think Shaitan is going to be there when the angels are there, or he's going to protect anything? He doesn't even do it without the angels being there. فَلَمَّا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ نَكَسَ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ وَقَالْ إني بريء منكم إني أرى ما لا ترون إني أخاف الله. شوفوا كلام اللعين، تبرأ منهم وأعلن أنه يخاف الله سبحانه وتعالى. When they met, he said, the shaitan declared loud and clear, I alienate myself from you. Meaning I'm not going to protect you, I'm not going to support you, I'm not going to do anything to you. And then he added, I see what you don't see. I see angels. I see tough people. I see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I see determined believers. I see people who are relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to be dealing with them. A simple a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim will make him disappear. How about with all of those forces united together? And then what did he say? He said, Inni akhafullah. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is not the fear that brings the person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, when I say I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I stay away from the disobedience and I do the obedience. He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew that Allah is supporting the believers. And he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending the angels. So he is fearing the result if he were to do anything or to get involved with that. Therefore he declared that he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of you might question, well, if the shaitan fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is he disobeying him? And why is he insisting on the disobedience? It's simple. He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is destined to the hellfire. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter if he repents or not. It's over. It's been judged. It's been determined that he's going to hellfire. The difference is he has time. He has respite. This time, it's not going to be broken. Meaning, if he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to strike him. Because he promised him that فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. So he does what he does, relying on the promise. But deep inside, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows his power. And he knows that he's going to hell and he's going to put him in hell. And that is why the day of judgment, he declares to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to his followers and everyone that he deviated, he will declare to him that I didn't do that. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran. A major sermon, a major khutbah by the shaitan that everybody recites in Surah Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ أي تَقَرَّرَ أهل النار للنار وأهل الجنة للجنة. أي قد حكم الله سبحانه وتعالى بين الفريقين. When Allah سبحانه وتعالى finished judging between the people of the Jannah and the people of the hellfire, and everyone is judged where he's going to go, Shaitan gathered his people, gave a sermon in the hellfire. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ. The first strike against his people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you the truth. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. And I promised you and I lied. Just reflect a little bit and think about it. When you are relying on someone, someone promised you with everything that he'll be there for you, and you are now in the most stressful situation, waiting for any kind of help, you go to the person whom you're relying almost 100% on, he comes and tells you, I lied to you. Look at the disappointment. Look at the punishment on top of the punishment that you are in the hellfire. And then he justified himself. وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. I had no power over you. I never grabbed you. I never pointed a gun at you. I never forced you. I never done anything to you. إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي. All I did to you is I whispered to you, or I told you, commit that sin. Don't do that. I just did it to you, and because you're evil from the inside, and yourself is evil, and you're worshiping and following your whims and desires, it was easy for you to follow my command. Because if you really don't like it, you would fight me back like the others who refused. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So don't blame me for it. Don't blame me that you are in the hellfire. Blame yourself for that. You're the evil person. You're the one who enjoyed what he enjoyed. All I did is I asked you. Just like someone comes and tells you, if I tell you jump off the building, would you jump? And you know that you're going to die? You say no. The shaitan did the same thing. He put you in the sin, and you know this sin leads you to hellfire. You still did it. You're not supposed to do it. The aql, العقل, the definition of عقل, ما يعقل الإنسان عما يؤذيه. عقل is what holds you from harming yourself. You did not have عقل. You're crazy. You listened to me and you followed your whims and desires, and that's why you're here. ما أنا بمصرخكم. ما أنا بمصرخكم يعني ما أنا بمجيب لصراخكم. When you are in distress, you start screaming. You start yelling for help. The shaitan said, I'm not going to be able to help you when you are screaming for help. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي. And I'm going to be doing the same thing. And you're not going to help me. And at the end, إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. I alienate myself from you associating me with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. You worship me with Allah? Did I tell you to do that? I never said that. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he declared everything, and that was the end of it. Now when the shaitan says, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. I did not have a power or any power over you to force you to do anything. Now this sultan can be by force, and it can be by proof. Can be يعني في القهر عن طريق القهر, it can, or it could be عن طريق الحجة. I have power over you by forcing you to do something with power, and I have power over you because I convince you with what I'm doing. I have the control over you. What does a shaitan have? Neither. He cannot force you, and he doesn't have the proof to convince you to do what he is doing, because the proof is very clear, it is against him. طيب. So his army is arrogance. And arrogance makes you, the shaitan wants you to be able to achieve what you want to achieve, which means worshipping yourself, or worshipping your mind, or worshipping the means that leads to whatever you want, and it leads you to the point that you are more able than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or your legislations is better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why you find some people doing what? Legislating things different than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislates, or looking at some of the legislations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as invalid, or as inappropriate, or as too harsh, any of those things. These people, or these things are done because of the shaitan got to them to become so arrogant about themselves to the point that they think their judgment and their point of view and their legislations is far more superior than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand that the shaitan has real physical army consisted of jinn and human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله أولئك حزب الشيطان ألا إن حزب الشيطان هم الخاسرون. استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. Shaitan really controlled them, overwhelmed them with his lies and promises, until they became his army. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the army of the shaitan are the losers. The point here, he did what he did to people until he recruited them to become one of his army. They turn people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They support everything evil. They deviate people from the truth. They do everything to the point they're really ready and willing to fight for it. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ. The believers fight for the path of, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the disbelievers fight in the path of whom? Ash-shaytan. So he got them to the point, so hating, or so much hating the believers and everything and that relates to belief, and loving everything evil to the point that they are willing to fight for that, and they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that in Surah what surah, brother? Starts with Hamim. It's not Al-Dukhan, the one before. Al-Zukhruf. In Surah Al-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. When the person becomes so evil and so far away from the truth and so much in depth, soaked in evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns the shaitan for him that he is qareen, he is with him all the time, stuck with him, inciting him against the religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, when a person reaches the peak of ma'siyah, of disobedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns that. So you find the shaitan and the disobedient people working together against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supporting whatever the shaitan does. And guess what? At the end, they do exactly what the shaitan does. They disowned the people who followed them. You find a human being coming to tell you, wallahi, wallahi, you'll be surprised that some people actually say, do this or skip this and I'll take the punishment for you. Normal people that you hear it, people who are living, whether they say it in a joking way or not, but naturally you would not find a believer who would joke about that. You would not find a righteous person coming telling you, Yahi, here, smoke a cigarette, and whatever punishment you get, I'll take it. You would not find, even jokingly, a believer would not do that, would not dare to say that. A believer would have more respect and more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than that. So those people would do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the same ayah, in the same surah, Surah Al-Zukhruf, Al-Akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. The real close friends, the day of judgment, are enemies to one another except the righteous. So those people who are deviating you, who are encouraging you to sin and promising you that I will take the punishment or I will support you or don't worry about this and that, the day of judgment they will do exactly what the shaitan does. They will disown themselves from you and declare that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did not do that. Shaitan told us something in Surah Al-An'am. قال ولأضلنهم ولأمنينهم ولآمرنهم فليبتكن آذان الأنعام ولآمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله. Shaitan said, he's going to do this or the following to his followers and the people that he wants to deviate. I'm going to command them. I'm going to give them hope. What is the hope? You're going to live long. This is the first time you're doing it. You have plenty of time to repent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ghafurur rahim. By the way, all those things that I'm saying, that people, it's not something hypothetical or something that I'm telling you here. We're reading about it. No, we're living it. You actually find and see people telling you that. Telling you, brother, in Allah ghafurur rahim. Brother, it's only one time. How many times? It's once a year. I'm not really addicted to it. I'm just wasting my time. I'm not... You have it all. You have it all from people that we are talking about. You see them living among us and telling us, and you see it real. But look what the shaitan said. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ. You have cattle. Shaitan commanded the pagans to cut or make a mark, slash, or cut the ears of the animals. And those... the one that they do, they are marked that they will be like for their idols. They will not eat them, they will not ride them, they will not benefit from them in anything. They are set free for the idols. So what is he getting from that? What's the benefit of the shaitan making people doing that? Listen to this, and you can relate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in a surah that he said, وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا, Surah An-Nahl, لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعَ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَى بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِشِكِّ الْأَنْفُسِ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Look at the benefit of those cattle. You benefit from its skin, from its wool, from their hair, from their meat, from their milk, riding on them, plowing your land, carrying your water, even looking good on them. A person riding a horse, this is Jamal. A person is proud. In fact, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he made the dua, O Allah, qala rabbi ighfirli, he said, O Allah, forgive me. And then he asked for a kingdom. Forgive him for what? Well, this is what he did. He loves horses. And all the horses were presented to him after Asr. And he was enjoying that scene until, guess what? He missed Asr prayer. Then he said, رُدُّوهَا عَلَيْهِ, bring those horses back. فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوكِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. He slaughtered all of them and gave them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that horse meat is halal. Why people don't eat it? I mean, generally, because the benefit of the horse is far more than just eating the meat of it. And if you got a sheep, you can't get very far with it except the meat. But if you got a horse, it'll do a lot of things. This is like if you have horses at that time, you are a king. So what did he do? He missed a prayer. Everything that he loves, that was a reason for missing that prayer, he gave it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On top of that, he said, oh Allah, forgive me. So here, when you want to forgive, when you want forgiveness, when you do something wrong, and you want to repent, it's not just astaghfirullah, show an action that you really feel sorry for what you did. He asked forgiveness, and he gave the cause for that sin. I don't know what kind of a sin that we can relate here. A person that he would cause, that takes you, you could have a bargain or something that you are making in a business, and once you close that bargain, you missed Jum'ah prayer. And there's a command that you should leave transactions. What would you do? If you were to fulfill that, let it be $10,000. And of course, it's not like, it's not going to be like a candy or something that you missed a prayer for. It's got to be something hefty. So you take those $10,000 and you raise your hand in a fundraising. You give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for that mistake. That will be an applicable example for anything that you do that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it up after you ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, this is what Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam did. So the shaitan here, cutting and slashing the ears and giving those animals for idols. Tell me what benefit the idols are going to benefit from those animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for nothing but to benefit people. The idols are not going to ride it. They're not going to eat it. They're not going to benefit from it. They're not going to look good with it. They're not going to do anything with it. So what did they do? The shaitan made them ruin the creation or the purpose of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and redirect it to something useless. Would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create something useless? Absolutely not. So here is what the shaitan did. By doing so, he made the animals useless. Were they not created for that? They are created to benefit people. So this is the job of the shaitan. Shaitan also, with his people, he turns people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing what? Falsifying. And if you look at magicians, if you look at fortune tellers, if you look at witchcraft, if you look at all of that, it is involving shayateen, stealing some of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command to the angels and the shaitan. Of course, he gives it to the command to the gives the command to the angels, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the command goes down from one angel to another until it reaches the angels of this dunya. During this process, shaitan steals. He's spying, steals some of the conversation, wiretapping, phone tapping, whatever you want to call it. No, actual stealing with his ears. What he takes, he deals with his soldiers on earth, the magicians and such. You think he comes and gives them the information as it is? He changes. And if it's guidance, he twists it to misguidance. And he gives it to the people. Or he would give a lot of something true surrounded with a lot of misguidance. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that he will give a true word and he puts 100 lies with it. He gives it to the people. Those people who deal with the jinn or the shayateen, they come and they add their own lies that benefits them in this world. And believe it or not, this is what caused the books, the Bible and the Torah and such, to be corrupted like they are, with all the things either lost or forgotten or twisted or changed and all that. Who changed them? Let me ask you this. Who changed the words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly told us that يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ. They twist their tongues with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. To think that it is from the book and it's not. So who does that? The people. How the people do that? With the shaitan inciting them to do that. So all the damages and the corruption that happened to the books is through people, but because of the shaitan. So they are the soldiers of the shaitan, and that is the proof. When the Quran started to descend on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened? Innahum ala sam'i lamahjubun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocked them from hearing anything. وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. Big soldiers, armies, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the sky to protect it from the shaitan stealing during the revelation of the Quran. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Quran, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Quran, shaitan cannot steal anything from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, brothers and sisters, I want to conclude with you with something that we know that there are many weapons that the shaitan uses to recruit his soldiers and to harm other people. The strongest weapon he has is the weapon of fear, that he instills fear in the heart of the people, his followers, and the people he wants to deviate, so they will not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes to a person who wants to give charity. What does he tell him? You're going to give charity now? Look at your salary. Who's going to pay the bill at the end of the month? What if you get laid off? What if your car breaks down? You don't have insurance. What if you get sick? You need to save that money. Don't compare yourself to that doctor or to that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want your money, not a need for your money. There are many people who are going to do the same thing. Take care of yourself. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, take care of yourself and the people that you're in charge. I mean, you're not coming to take care of the center or your school. Take care of your household first. You won't do it. Then he comes to a person who wants to say the truth, kalimat haq. He would tell him, you crazy? What do you think they're going to do to you? You're going to go to jail. You might even get killed. They're going to beat you up. Why you are the one? Look at his beard. He's got a bigger beard than you. Well, let him do it. Why you look at, oh, mashallah alaik. Now you're going to look at the toughest one, or the best one, the most righteous one. Yarhamukallah. Then collapses you, you won't do it. He comes to a person who wants to go to a prayer. And he said, look at the time. That's the peak hour now. You want to close the shop and pray? Okay, you want to pray. What if a customer walks in there and you're going up and down? You know, you're not back home. Here people think that you're crazy. And besides, if someone comes inside, how can you have khushu'? And if you don't have khushu', your prayer is no good. So you're really wasting your time and wasting your business. Delay it a little bit after it cools down. When it cools down, what are you going to do? You're going to close the place, or you're going to pray here? Just wait a little bit more. Maybe some of your friends would come and he will take care of the customer. He continues on doing that until you miss the prayer. The same thing, if you want to do something good, you want to reconciliate between two brothers. MashaAllah alaik. Now you're going with him, you're going to go to his house and everything, and your wife doesn't see you an hour a week, 24 hours at work, and the free time that you have, you're going to get brothers together. Why don't you get together with your wife and solve the problems at your home before you solve the problem outside? He would come to you and you'll be going, yeah, really. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that you need to be good to your wife, and you need a brother. I'm busy today, I will not do it. Enjoining good and forbidding evil. See something going wrong and you wanted to go advise the brother. Man, you think he's going to accept it from you? He's going to blow up in your face. Man, everybody is doing the same thing. Look at this. You're going to do it. You don't even know the guy. And you'll be going to yourself, you know, I know myself. I can do good. I can, wallahi, advise you. And the shaitan goes, yeah, yeah, this is what you think. What if he starts screaming at you now and cussing at you and everything and made a big scene out of it? How are you going to feel in front of everyone? Ah. Remember the ayah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadurrukum man dalla idha ihtadaytum. Most of the people, you know, don't know the real meaning. Oh, believers, take care of yourself, those people who are deviated are not going to harm you. This ayah was revealed actually to enjoin good and forbid evil, not against it. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu explained that, and he said, the meaning of this ayah is you enjoin good and forbid evil, and if people don't accept your da'wah, then they're not going to harm you. You took care of yourself, you fulfilled the purpose of your creation, and you fulfilled the command when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You got yourself out of the curse, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. What for? كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ. People of the book were cursed before because they were never enjoined good and forbid evil. This is the meaning of the ayah, but if you look at the apparent meaning of it, it sounds like worry about yourself and forget the rest. And who is reciting those ayat for you? Shaitan. Yes, shaitan recites ayat and brings you hadith and brings you saying of the companions and everything to convince you with this. Because he wants to instill fear in you. Don't want to harm yourself, stay away from enjoining good and forbidding evil. Inshallah, as you can see, brothers, shaitan has armies, and the first one that he wants to use is to put arrogance in you, to make you worship yourself and not in need, or show you that you are not in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan twists things where it is not really for the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it for. Shaitan gets people and he makes them and takes them and recruits them as soldiers to fight with him. Shaitan promises, breaks the promise. Shaitan gives every hope for you that you're going to be good and Allah is going to forgive you, to put you in that. And shaitan uses the most powerful thing against you, which is putting fear. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَلَا تَخَافُوش. يعني أولياء أتباعه. Those people who follow the shaitan or listen to the shaitan, he always constantly instilling fear in them. Like he comes to the believer and he said, look, everybody is against you. You're not going to win. You're only one or you're only 100 and you got millions against you. Why you want to do that? Stay away from it. And twist yourself and put yourself in there. And then the shaitan comes with the fear. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمْ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Shaitan promises you poverty and always enjoining evil and indecency upon you. Always. He does not come to you for something good. Even if he tells you, get up and pray, he has ruined something for you. We said about it before, he will make you do something that is less rewarding. He's happy with that when you insist on obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to read Quran or pray two rak'ah? He tells you, read Quran. And he will start telling you, each letter is 10 rewards and 10 can go to 700 and. Ignorant person would say, wallahi, reading Quran is more rewarding. Nothing better than the two rak'ah in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because prayer is number one in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prayer includes the Quran. Quran is in the prayer. Prayer is actions and sayings and intentions and all of that put in one. But the shaitan comes to you, so you get less rewards than the rewards that you are seeking. So shaitan is always against you. Next time, inshallah, we will talk about how the shaitan interferes in our life. What does he do? Some of the things that the shaitan does, told to us by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ways how we can protect ourselves from that. There are many ahadith in that reference. You will get to understand how the shaitan attacks you in person, attacks your wife, and attacks your children, and attacks you from every angle, set by a hadith, or told to us by a hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You would know those ways, and inshallah you would know how you protect yourself from that. That will be next time. Till then, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. If you have any question, we'll take.
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا